All right, I think I'm at 2 minutes and 15 seconds, so if you make your way to your seats, we're going to go ahead and get started. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 14, please. This past week, I was had a wonderful opportunity to speak at Elevate. Elevate is CVCA's seventh grade retreat that they do in the mid part of the year. And there was roughly about 200 seventh graders there that I had an opportunity to speak to all week long. And I got into a discussion with one of the kids, and he was telling me, oh, I don't really like going to church. I don't like, I don't like the songs my church plays. I don't like this. I don't like that. And I stopped him for a moment, and I said, what do you like? Nothing. Minecraft. And I said, oh, yeah, of course you like Minecraft, right? Gage, you would know this. All that age likes Minecraft, right? And he began to ask me if I know how to do a 90 in Minecraft, or Roblox, maybe. Is it Roblox or not Minecraft? I don't... Fortnite. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. That's it. See, I'm out of the...
How do you know this?
I don't know how I don't know this. But, so he was telling me all of this stuff, and I stopped, and I said, okay, let me ask you a question. I said, how did you get to be so good at Fortnite? I play all the time. I said, yeah, I bet you do. And I said, and you keep going, right? I said, now let me ask you a question. Every time you play Fortnite, does it turn out the way that you want it to turn out? And he says, no. He goes, usually it doesn't turn out any way I want it to turn out. I usually mess up, or I have to start over, or something like that. And I said, but you keep still playing, right? And he goes, yes. And I said, so what's your excuse for church? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you just told me all the things you don't like about church, but you don't want to go to church, but yet you don't like things the way they turn out here, but you still play Fortnite, you still do those things. And he goes, it's not the same, Pastor. And I said, you're right, playing Fortnite and going to church are close to being the same. But I asked him, I said, so basically you're just making excuses, right? And he stopped and he says, yeah, but don't tell my mom and dad. I said, okay, I won't tell your mom and dad. I'll just tell everyone else. No, I'm kidding. I didn't use his name, though, so that's okay. The truth of the matter is though, don't we make excuses for almost everything? Now, listen, this is going to be a fun sermon. I can already tell, because when I put up the title, Stop Making Excuses, and then you look at people and you say, don't we make excuses for everything? And everyone... I'm not going to say a word, Pastor. Don't you be calling me out about the excuses I make. But we do. Let's be honest. We make excuses for everything and anything in our life. Anything that doesn't turn out the way that we want it, we make an excuse. Excuses for the excuses. That's right. That's absolutely right. I love the new year. And I love the beginning of this. Pastor Chaz and I love to golf, and we love mulligans, right? Grace for grace, we call it. When you're up there and you shoot it and you hit a golf ball and it goes way off this way, and then you're hoping and praying. Every time I hit a bad shot, I'm like, come on, Pastor Chaz, put it in the woods, put it in the woods, put it in the woods. No, I'm kidding, I don't do that. Only 90% of the time. Now I'm making an excuse, right. Why? Because we like to start over. When things don't turn out the way that we want them to turn out, it's something about starting over. It's something about beginning a new year. You know, I love New Year's, but I also hate it. I love New Year's because it's such an amazing time to restart. It reprioritizes, it refocuses you on what's important. You know, you're starting this new year, the notebook is unwritten, and you can write your own story for the whole entire year. You have that choice to do that now. But I also hate New Year's because this means the coming down of the Christmas tree and the Christmas lights and all of that stuff. And that's disappointing, unless you live in Pastor Chaz and Mastania's house, and then they stay up all year long. But
turns into a Valentine's.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, isn't it, Pastor Chaz? Yes, it is. Come on. I'll ask Miss Tanya when she comes next Sunday. No. The truth of the matter is that we have all of these things that happen at this time of the year, and it's great. But what happens? Do you know that 90% of New Year's resolutions are abandoned after a week and a half? That's a true statement. This was it's longer than mine too, but we make these resolutions. We're gonna change. I'm gonna work out. I'm gonna go to the gym every single day. I'm gonna stop using this word, or I'm not gonna do this or say this, or I'm not gonna gossip. I'm not gonna be mean. I'm not gonna be mad. I'm not gonna do all this stuff. And then what happens?
2 days in,
10 minutes into work.
Face to face, right? You're right there with that opportunity. Man, I tell you, how do we do that? What do? We make excuses. Well, if that person wouldn't have made me mad, I wouldn't have had to throat punch them, right? If my wife wouldn't have said this, I would have yelled at her. If my kids wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that. And we came up and we come up with all these excuses. And I was sitting here thinking about this, and I was thinking about all the excuses we make and all of these things. And then I started thinking about this, and I started realizing that there's a wonderful story in Scripture that's no different than us. Luke chapter 14, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 12 through 14. We're going to read chapter 12. Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 to start. We'll get into the rest of the story then. But if you turn with your Bibles there, let's read this. He said also to a man who had invited him, "When you give dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Now the story goes on, and it's going to have a story of excuses. We're going to read about all of these excuses. This is a parable that Jesus is teaching to us. Excuse me. Jesus is teaching this parable to his disciples, and he's showing his disciples. I started with this verse because we have to understand that Jesus is teaching. There's two main thought processes of what Jesus was teaching in this parable. The very first one is that, who are you? Are you humbling yourself? See, the truth of the matter is that too many people often invite or do things for people. You know, who was it that sang the song RESPCT? Aretha Franklin. Thank you. Yeah. What is she? What was the course of the song? RESPCT. Yeah, I'm going to, I will respect you if you what?
Respect.
Yeah. And so Aretha Franklin was actually not singing Scripture. If you didn't know that, Aretha Franklin was not singing Scripture in this portion. No, it's a wonderful song. I'm not taking it away from her. I mean, she's a
legend,
right, in singing purposes. But what Scripture really tells us is, and what Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples, is that when you give a feast, invite the poor. Why would I invite the poor? Like, listen, if I'm at a federal party, who do I want to invite? I want to invite the people I want to hang out with, right? If I feel really, really bad, then I might invite Pastor Chaz to come along with me. But that's besides the story. Oh, sorry, Pastor Chaz. I have to start the new year off on a good place, right? No. I love you, Pastor Chaz. You know that. But the truth of the matter is if you have a party, you're going to invite the people who are closest to you, your friends, your neighbors, the people you want to spend time with. Jesus is at a dinner. He's sitting down at this dinner, and he's sitting here, and he's having this conversation with the people around him. And in fact, verse 12 says, he said also to the man who had invited him. Now, talking about wearing out your invitation, right? Jesus was just invited. Jesus is invited to this party. And in verse 12, he says to the man who invited him, "When you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers." Could you imagine the guy that's giving the dinner or the banquet? What's he going to do? Look at Jesus and go, "Well, good thing I invited you then, huh?" He's not going to say that to Jesus. Neither nor will any of us. The reason why I start with this verse is because we have to look at 2024 as not a place that we're just going to be spending time with each other. Listen, it's wonderful to have community. I told you, I love the community. We preached on this all fall along, this idea of community, of being together. And it's a wonderful idea, and it's something that we need to do. But guess what? We also are called as Christians to go out into the cities and go out into the places and reach those who are poor, who are crippled, who are lame, who are blind. Why? Because we have something to offer them. What Jesus is trying to tell the people at that party is that, listen, you have something. I am giving you something, and what I am giving to you is not supposed to stay with you and the people that I have been giving it to. It's not just for the disciples. Jesus is saying, I am giving you something, and so therefore go and give it to other people. Go out and do something. Listen, your faith is no good if you just sit on it and do absolutely nothing with it. Your faith means nothing if you don't exercise your faith to people outside of the faith. The reason why the Lord has saved us, and I can't wait to get to heaven to find out and have this conversation with Him. But Jesus and God chose to use us to grow the kingdom of God here on this earth. But what happens is that too often we get so wrapped up in our excuses and our joy that we don't do anything other than set on our faith and keep it within each other. I love the testimonies that we had last week, because each one of those testimonies was how God was using them to reach out to other people. Mike sharing his story with the people at the pharmaceutical company. Chad using his testimony and his story about how to reach his sister, but the people around his sister also heard and has been asking for prayer and spending that time. Those are amazing stories. Why? Because we are not called to hang on to our faith and do absolutely anything, nothing with it. We're called to go out into the world. Jesus ends this by saying, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. See, faith was never intended to get something in return. Aretha Franklin wanted respect in return. She was going to give respect if she got respect. Jesus says, you're not supposed to, you don't go out and give your faith expecting something to come back. Is it nice when you get something back? Yes, it is, absolutely. It's nice to be honored by someone. It's nice to be spoken politely about someone, or someone speaking politely about you. That's all nice things. But the honest goodness is that we do this because we are called to do this by God. We are called to go out and give our faith away. Not because we need something in return. Listen, if you're really a believer in Jesus Christ, everything you need is wrapped up in Him. It's not wrapped up in me. It's not wrapped up in Him. It's not wrapped up in anyone else. You shouldn't need something from someone else. You get it from Jesus. My question I want to ask you today is, who are you reaching? Are you reaching the very poor people that Jesus calls us to? Are you reaching the people who are you are expecting something back in return for them? Do we only reach out to those that can give us something back? Do we only reach out to those who we think are going to give us a positive message back? Or are we reaching out to those that need more than that? When I think of this message, I think of the many times in my life I didn't take the step to reach out to those in need because I was too busy or honestly looked upon a situation on how I could be blessed instead of blessing the Lord. I've done this before. I'll be completely honest and open with you. As a pastor, that's one of the things I try to do and try to show you that I am not perfect. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, keep looking, because I'm not it. There's been times in my life, I remember one of the times that keeps me up at night is one of the times when I did have hair. It was a few years ago. I went to the barber shop and I'm getting my hair cut, and the lady at the that's cutting my hair just literally laid out the gospel message for me. And I stopped and I asked her, do you know Christ? And she's like, do you go to church? Oh, no, I don't go to church. But in her discussion and all of the problems she had, it was a beautiful picture. It was like God was giving me the sign going, boop, 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 boop. Right here it is. Open your mouth, Jason. All you got to do is say the words. And you know what? I didn't. Got up from that chair, got in my car and left, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm driving down the road, got home, and I felt terrible. You know, have you ever been in that time when the Lord has asked you to do something and you didn't do it, and that feeling you get inside of your heart, and inside you're like, oh, how did I do that? Why did I just abandon that? I felt like Peter when the rooster was crowing. I got to imagine that's how Peter felt. And so the next day I decide, well, I'm going to go back. I'll go back and I'll have this conversation with this lady. So I stopped in and I walked in. I said, is so-and-so here? I can't even remember her name now, but I said, is so-and-so here? And she's, the lady looks at me and she goes, oh no, she quit. And I'm like, well, how awkward is this? Can I ask you for her phone number or her address? She's like, no, sir, we don't give those out. And I'm like, yeah, that's wise. I wouldn't either. And I left, and I've never seen her again. And that's bothered me since that day. See, the truth of the matter is that we have reasons. We all think we have reasons, but oftentimes those reasons become excuses. Excuses of why we didn't share our faith, reasons why we didn't reach out and do some type of ministry, reasons why we didn't do something. Jesus goes on to share this story. If you go with me to Luke chapter 14, verse 15, we're going to be reading through verse 24. He says, but when one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. I want to pause there for a moment because this is an integral part of this verse. Jesus is, the man who is dining with Jesus, one of them who is reclining at the table, says to Jesus, blessed is everyone who will eat the bread in the kingdom of God. We now know that this parable is not just about eating dinner. It's not about a banquet. It's not about a wedding banquet. It's not about coming together and eating dinner. But this is truly about the kingdom of God. This is truly about the salvation of people's lives. This is how we as Christians. So when you see this, when this man asks this question, the reason why this is important is because Jesus now says, okay, now you get it. Now you understand what I'm just about ready to say. And so he goes on to say, but he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. The wife said no. Sometimes your wife is your excuse too, and that's not right, men. Just letting you know, okay? So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry, and he said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways, the hedges, and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. Verse 24, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Let's pause and pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you have done and what you are doing in our midst. Lord, may we not miss out on the banquet that you are having in heaven. May we be not full of excuses, but may we instead be full of faith and reasons to go forward in our faith this year. May 2024 be a great banquet of faith and a celebration of what you're doing in our lives and in the lives of so many people and all the people around us. Lord, open our ears, open our eyes, open our minds to hear from you today. Help us to understand what you are saying. Holy Spirit, come into this place, remove any hindrances that keep us from understanding exactly what you'd want to say to us. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. And I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, Father. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. Let's look first at the players, right? The players of this story. We have to understand that this is a parable that Jesus is speaking, but there's a couple players here that we have to understand. First of all, the banquet host is God. In this story, the banquet host is God. The servant who's going out inviting people is Jesus. The invited is all of us. We are the ones who have received the tickets. We are the ones who call ourselves Christians, who God is saying, come in to my banquet. We have to understand these things because what Jesus is speaking here in this parable is that this parable is not just about dinner. This is about coming to the salvation of Jesus Christ. And what are you going to do with your faith? He is trying to speak to the people who have a faith in Jesus or have a faith at all, but they're not doing anything with it. Jesus is coming to them and saying, listen, just because you have been invited to the banquet, are you coming or not? We hear this story over and over and over again. See, the truth of the matter is the banquet is going to happen, but are you going to enjoy the event or miss out because of some lame excuse? That's the question we have to ask. See, the banquet of God is going to happen. If there's one thing that I haven't in my 20 years of pastoral ministry and my, I don't know how many years of being a Christian, what I've learned is that God's will is going to happen. No matter what. I can come up with the best darn excuse of anybody, and guess what? God's will is still going to happen. It's still going to progress. It's still going to happen. There's nothing I can do to change God's will. The best thing that I can do is get in line to do what God is doing. Be where God is at. Be where the Holy Spirit is. Too often we pray, God, come and bless my time, bless my actions, bless all of this. No, we should be praying, God, let me be where you are blessing. Don't bless what I'm doing because probably what I'm doing is not right. And so therefore, let me be where you are at, where you are blessing. Let me be where you are going. Let me go where you are going. It's a change of prayer. It's a change of thought. See, oftentimes we pray to God and we get ourselves in the middle of situations and go, God, please save me. Help me. Well, it would have been a lot better if we started praying that God would lead us and direct us and not get us into the middle of those things in the first place. But the banquet is going to happen. There's going to be times God is going to move. The question is, who is going to be there to partake in that, to participate in that, and to see that? See, too often what happens is we as Christians get so excited about our faith. We first come to know Jesus Christ, and we accept him and what he did on the cross for us, and we're so excited, and we have this period of time. I love spending time with new believers. You know why? Because they're so on fire and they're so excited. They're willing to go jump off a bridge if they needed to. They didn't care. You know, God's going to save me if I step off this bridge. Guess what? He's going to catch me right down in there because I love God. God is here. And then what happens is over the course of time, we become jaded. We allow our human thoughts, the world around us, to jade our faith, to jade our belief. And then we begin to go, God, you better write it on the walls or I'm not going to do it. Before, you were willing to do it. If he just whispered something in the far distance, you would hear it and you would run. Now, it's as we get older, we call ourselves mature Christians, but what we're really doing is becoming jaded at our faith. See, the truth of the matter is that the conference, the banquet is going to happen. There's going to be a dinner. There's going to be all of these people. People are going to be moved to God. God is going to move. And he wants to use us. He really does. He wants to use every single one of us in this room. He has invited you. You have if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the invitation to the banquet. You have the ticket. You have the golden ticket. Forget Willy Wonka. We have a golden ticket with God. We're ready to go. But the question is, what are you going to do with that ticket? See, what happens too often is what happens in the story. Let's go back just for a moment here. And read some of the excuses.
His wife said no.
Yeah. But they all began to make excuses. The first man said to him, I have bought a field and I must go and see it. Now let me ask you a question. Has anyone ever bought land, a house, or property without seeing it first? Gates just pointed to his grandpa. Grandpa did. No, but look, the average person doesn't go and buy property or a house without seeing it first, right? You don't just go and say, I'm going to buy this house without even looking at it. So this excuse is laughable at best. I must go look at the land I bought. Really? The next excuse is even as bad. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must go to examine them. Okay. You're going to go examine your oxen. Okay, fine. The other one said, I'm married and I have a wife and therefore I cannot come. Now, he's blaming his wife. But second of all, that's a problem. That's a marital problem. If I was there, I would say, it's time for you to go into marriage counseling, right? We'd be having marriage counseling with this person. But the truth of the reality is that he is using an excuse of being married. You don't think your wife was invited to come too? Your wife was invited. Come, bring her along. These are all excuses. These are laughable excuses. Now listen, I would love to sit here and laugh at these excuses and say, I've never heard any worse excuse than this. But guess what? I've heard plenty of excuses. And I'm sure I have used many excuses myself. We can go on to see, and if we're truthful with ourselves, this is one thing that I want to be as truthful with myself as I am with everyone else this year. That's one of my resolutions this year is instead of telling myself lies, instead of trying to make myself believe something, I need to look in the mirror and tell myself the exact truth, as do all of us. Is it as good as what I think it is in my head? No, it's not. We have excuses that we come up with in our own head. We have excuses that we come up in our own mind. All of these are really laughable, lame excuses that keep us away from the banquet. I'm going to tell you, a few years ago, there was this conference. We're part of an organization called HarvestNet. I am a board member of HarvestNet Ministries. It's a ministry out of Cleveland, Ohio. And what it does is it just works to unify the church, to bring the church together in unity, all of the churches. And so they were having a conference a few years ago, and I was supposed to be at this conference. I will be completely honest with you. I made up every excuse I could think of in the book. I'm tired. I don't feel good. It's been a long week. I've been busy. I just need to be at home. I came up with every excuse I could think of not to be at this conference. And so I didn't go. But then a few weeks later, I met up with a friend who was beginning to tell me about the amazing things that happened at this conference. And the very first thing he said is, he goes, you wouldn't believe how God moved at this conference and what happened in this event. And he began to tell me these stories. And at that moment, I had the biggest bout of FOMO that you could ever have. I missed out on something. I had a FOMO, fear of missing out, if you don't know what that was. Okay, so I had the biggest fear of missing. I missed out on something amazing. I've been hanging out with seventh graders all week. I'm using these terms, okay? Sorry.
I was
going to
say, before you pulled out.
Yes. But I missed out on this opportunity to see God moved. To see God move in the way that he did. Because I had some lame excuse that I used and didn't want to go to that conference. See, I was truthful with myself and I knew that I was only to blame. And I began to share this with my friend and he said, listen, he goes, God is going to move whether you're there or not. It's whether you're going to be part of it or not. See, I often think all the time, people ask me all the time, how do I see God? I want to see God move in my life. I want to see this. I want to see that. I want to see God move mightily in my life. I want to see all of those things. And the very first question I have to ask someone when they say that to me is, what are you doing to see God move? If you're sitting on your couch at home watching TV, you're probably not going to see God move. If you go out into the church and you begin to, or you go out into the neighborhood, you go out into the community and you start serving people and you start serving others and you start going to the hospital and praying for sick people or going to nursing homes and sitting with older, mature adults that have been in there, you'll begin to see God move. You'll begin to see God move in major ways. See, the problem of it is that too oftentimes we use excuses because we don't want to do the work that it takes and we don't want to get up and walk to the banquet. The most amazing thing about this banquet, though, is that they're not asked to bring anything. They're being provided dinner. They're providing entertainment. They're providing drinks. They're provided everything they need. All they needed to do was show up. That's who Jesus is. Jesus provides everything that we have. We don't need to take anything. You know, if they wanted to bring a gift, I'm sure they could have. But did they have to? No, they didn't have to bring that. All they needed to do was bring themselves and show up to this event. All they had to do was show up at the door of the event, and they would participate in this great event and see amazing things happen. See, the banquet is all about God. It's about the experience, the surrounding, the beauty of the process. It's about the time spent with Him. At the end of the day, when we have excuses, we miss out on seeing God move through us and in us because we are using excuses in our life. If you want to see God move, then guess what? You got to start exercising your faith. If you want to see God move, that means you got to start walking in your faith. You got to start putting yourself out there. You got to start putting yourself in a place. Listen, I shared this past week with the seventh graders. Very few of you know this, but my family knows this. But from the time I was in kindergarten up to the time I was seventh grade, I was in speech therapy. Because I had buck teeth. I had teeth good. And in school, they used to call me Bucky Beaver and all these other things. And I had on this, I had to wear this, this headgear, right? And I used to laugh. Oh, thanks, Amy. Thanks for remembering that. No, you can remember other things. Don't remember that, okay? No. But I'd wear this headgear, and this headgear that I'd wear could pick up about 130 different TV channels and radio channels. I'm serious, man. I was the first digital antenna that they had. No, I'm kidding. But it was embarrassing. I had to wear it during the day. I had to wear it during school. I remember I was teased endlessly because I had to wear it at school too. The problem, and the reason why I say this is because I had this speech impediment. I could not say specific or pacific. I could not say cinnamon and synonym. I still have problems saying those things. Oh, yeah, I know, right. Exactly. I still have problems saying those things. The words flow out of my mouth differently today than they did back then. No, I'm kidding. But it was difficult. And when the Lord called me, I remember the day that the Lord, when I had this dream, I woke up after the dream that God had called me to be a pastor. And the very first thing I said was, "You got to be kidding me, God." That's the very first. How can you take someone who, first of all, has a fear of speaking in front of people, second of all, can't say words, and third, has been made fun of most of his middle school life, be a pastor? And what I found out over the course of time was that all of those are excuses, because God will overcome every excuse that we have if we allow Him to. None of those matter. The only thing that matters is that we stop making excuses for ourselves. Those excuses that I came up with became excuses to keep me from doing what God had called me to do. And I allowed those excuses to live in my life for too many years. But when I came up with those and I knew that they were just excuses and I started putting them down as excuses and I started overcoming those things, then God began to do things in my life. See, we have to understand that the banquet, again, God is going to move. The question only has to be asked is, are you going to be there? Or are you going to have an excuse? What it really comes down to is that we have to be stronger than our excuses. We have to be stronger than the very excuses that we come up with. Listen, I know that we're going to be tired. I know that you're going to be tired. I know that you're not going to want to do things. I know that you're going to have difficulties. I know there's going to be times when you just want to sit at home and say, listen, I need to chill out. I get that. We all need rest. We all need times to relax. We all need those. Those are important things. But the reality of it is that what happens is that those excuses that we use become no longer excuses. They become habits. See, an excuse is something that says we use one time of why we can't do something. What happens, though, is an excuse becomes a habit. And then the habit becomes a lifestyle, and a lifestyle becomes a detrimental to our faith. We have to understand that God is calling us to be stronger than our excuses. God is calling us to be more than all of those things that we have said. Verse 24 has always bothered me. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquets. This verse has always bothered me a little bit on this because, first of all, number one, I know this is a parable that Jesus is talking about. But the question is Jesus talking about this as in the actual parable that the people that were invited won't taste the banquet? Or is he actually meaning that we who have been invited, who do nothing with our faith, who fall short in our excuses, won't taste the banquet of God? That's a question we have to ask. Now here's how I resolve this in my own head, which is a little scary. But I resolve this by saying, listen, if you know Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is in your heart, then you're going to move to do something. It's going to move. You won't be able to not move. You won't. Eventually, at some point in your life, Jesus is going to so move in your heart that you're going to have to go speak to the lady at the cash register. You're going to have to speak to someone at the grocery store. You're going to have to speak to someone at the restaurant, some family member, something like that. And you're going to have to. It's just going to come out because Jesus is so full of you. You're so full of Jesus. I said that wrong. But these very men who were invited to the banquet and had excuses, basically had excuses for their faith. When we start making excuses why we don't come to church, when we start making excuses why we don't pray, when we start making excuses why we don't read our Bible, when we start making excuses, oh, that's just how I am, no, those are all excuses. You're in danger of seeing your life go in a different direction than the way you want it to go. That's what I believe is happening here. Jesus is giving us the warning that, listen, if you continue to walk away from your faith, if you continue to come up with excuses of why you're not going to activate your faith, it leads us down a path that we should not and do not want to go. Now, I will tell you, as a believer in Christ, I believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. But my question has to always be the simple fact that if Jesus hasn't made a difference in your life and you've come up with every excuse in the book not to live for Jesus, then were you really saved to begin with? Or was it just a show? Today, you and I have an opportunity to be stronger than our excuses. Today, you and I have an opportunity to stop making excuses for our faith. I love, again, the beginning of the new year, 2024. It's a beautiful open notebook that's ready to be written upon for us to write our story down to say this is what's going to happen. But it starts with you and I making choices internally and externally. So instead of making excuses of why I'm not going to serve the Lord, how about start serving the Lord? Instead of making excuses of why I'm not going to read my scripture, how about start reading your scripture? In the right way, not upside down, by the way. Instead of coming up with the excuses of why... the other day I was eating dinner at a restaurant and I sat down and I heard this couple behind me and they were just about ready to eat dinner and the lady, the wife goes, "Honey, we should pray." And he's like, "But people will hear me." And I thought to myself, should I turn around and say something? As a pastor, that's really hard, right? Shortly, I didn't say anything. They began to eat. And I saw the wife out of the corner of my eye. She bowed her head and she prayed silently herself. And so when dinner, I'm sitting by myself, by the way, and my dinner was brought to the table, sat down. And they're kind of like right here at an angle behind me. I stopped and I said, "Dear Lord, please bless this food. Thank you for all that you've given to me and all of the people that are in this restaurant that can participate. I pray today that we have no more excuses of why we can't. Thank you for every drop of food that you give to us." Yeah, I'm that pastor that does those kind of things. I said, "Amen." And the wife goes, "See, it would have been okay to pray." Turned around and I just said, "Sir, don't ever be ashamed of praying in public. It's the greatest thing that you can do. It's the greatest moment for you to share your faith with people around you. Just bow your head and pray and let it come out." But why do we too often, like in the middle of dinner at a restaurant like this, we try to say, let me pray real quick to thank this food. No, why? Why do we have to pray real quick? Yeah, maybe we're hungry and the food is smelling good and we want to get to the food real quickly. I get that. But we often do that because we feel awkward. Who cares? I don't care what someone else thinks about whether I pray for my food or not. Those are all excuses. We have to stop with the excuses. See, 2024, I think one of the resolutions that every single one of us should be making is that we stop making excuses. And that's for every Christian in this room, including your pastor. Stop making excuses and just follow God. Start doing what he's called you to do. Are there things in your life today that you're not doing because of some excuse? Are there things in your life today that you've put off for years because you've been making excuses? I can't do that. I can't take that step of faith. I can't do what God... Yes, you can. Do it. Take that step. God will meet you. Will you stand with me while the worship team come, please? If Jesus was here and he was going to write this parable, what excuse would you be giving him? When I read scripture, I think about this often. I think about, if I was there at this time, would Jesus be using my excuse in that parable? When you personalize this, it means something so different. It touches in a different place when you do it that way. At least for me, it does. Truth of the matter is that we have made every excuse we can to turn down the very one who gave everything he has for us. Whatever that excuse is, it doesn't have room. There's no room for excuses anymore. We have to be men and ladies of God who are going to go out and serve God in the way that he has called us to serve, and we have to stop making those excuses. So will you do that with me today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. Lord, we have come up with so many excuses in our life, and the very first thing I want to do is apologize and say, forgive me of my excuses, Father. I encourage all of you to do the same, but Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for those excuses of what I've done and how I've not served you in the way that I should have. And I've allowed excuses to enter into my life. Father, help me to overcome this. Help me to be stronger than my excuses. Help me to be stronger than those very things that keep me from serving you in the way that you want to be served. Father, I want to be not only at the banquet of God, but I want to be first in line, waiting with bated breath to get into that door, to experience the excitement of a banquet with you, Lord. I want to be right there, Father. And so whatever that means for me, whatever that means for us in this room, for us as a church, for us as individuals, for me as an individual, Father, help us to overcome those things. Help us to not have excuses in 2024, but be men and ladies of action and faith who serve the lame, who serve the poor, who serve the crippled, who serve those that can't pay us back. Father, it's not about those things. It's about you. May we always be so focused on you that it's the only thing that matters. Lord, there may be some here today that's never given their life to Jesus Christ before, that never said, I need to take this step. I need to walk with you. I need to have and be at that banquet, Father. I know you are here ready to pass out that invitation. It's as simply a saying as we're at Romans 10, verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our hearts, then we can have everlasting eternal life. All we have to do is ask for forgiveness, repent of our sins, and follow him. If you're here today, it's no better time than the beginning of a new year to dedicate your life to Christ. If you're here today and you've already done that, but you've found yourself full of excuses, then make a commitment today. Lord, I make a commitment to you to stop making excuses for not moving in my faith, for not growing in my faith towards you. Lord, let me be at that banquet. Let me be with you. I'm excited to be in that place. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now in this place. We ask you that your will be done in all things. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.
Your creation suddenly articulate with a thousand toys to lift one cry. And from north to south and east to west, we hear cries. Be magnified. For the whole earth echoing his lament, His name burst from sea and sky, from rivers to the mountain tops, with Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified, let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
Christ be magnified in me. From the altar of my life, all that is within me, may Christ arise. Lovely verses and words of an amazing song. May they be true for each and every one of us. May Christ be magnified in everything that we do and say. May our lives be an example of the beauty of what He is and who He is for us and for others. And as we prepare to leave this place, may you walk in His grace and His glory. He forgives us for our excuses, by the way. But He also longs to walk with you, for you to lay aside those excuses and grow in your faith with Him. So can this year be a year where we grow with Christ, where we leave the excuses off to the side, and we celebrate the banquet of God with Him, glorifying Him with everything and everywhere we go. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for You. We thank You for all that You are. We glorify You. We honor You. We praise You. We ask You, Lord, to be with all of those that are sick, those that are suffering at home, Jay and Doreen and others. We pray for Pastor Chaz's father who's in the hospital right now, Lord. May You bless him. May You heal him, Father. We ask You, Lord Jesus, that You just be with those that couldn't be with us today. May You heal them. Keep them safe. May You do a miracle in their lives, Father, and in our lives too, Father. And let us walk with You with no excuses. 100% sold out in our faith this year in 2024 as we look to honor You in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Hope to see you again next week. God bless.